This is Word of Mouth from NHPR. I'm Virginia Prescott. The great manors scattered across England are remnants of an empire past. Fans of Downton Abbey and Upstairs Downstairs get a glimpse of what it took to maintain these well-appointed colossal estates, namely a cluster of coordinated domestic staff. While most of us do not have butlers or kitchen maids or boot polishers to keep our homes up to snuff, their decades of dedicated experience and knowledge need not go to waste. Lucy Lethridge is author of Mind Your Manners, Tried and True British Household Cleaning Tips, and she's on the line with some tips on caring for your castle, or at the very least, some sound advice on spring cleaning. Lucy, welcome to the program.
I'm very pleased to be here.
So you came up with these ideas when you were researching what became servants. This is your book on people working in service from the 19th century onwards. So first, is that depiction that we see on Downton Abbey of servants known and integrated into the household accurate?
Well, it is up to a point. I mean, obviously, it would depend on your employer. In Downton Abbey, Julian Fellowes is keen to portray a kind of mutually dependent upper and lower class. And that's part of a sort of conservative tradition of viewing class dependency as a kind of as a pyramid in which the upper classes are sort of fed and watered by the lower classes, who are in turn looked after. That was not always the case. But in those large country houses, there was nonetheless a tradition of service and of care. So to an extent, it is true, yes.
So what would a typical day be like for, say, a maid working in an Edwardian manor 100 years ago?
Well, of course, Downton is much larger than a manor. I mean, Downton is what I suppose you might call a mansion. A manor is a more modest establishment, but would still have had, around, say, 1900, would still have had about 8 servants. And, of course, the earliest task of the day was lighting fires. It took a long time for the old houses of Britain to get electricity for a variety of reasons, and one of which I think was that there was a sort of anti-technological cult among certain sections of society, because there was a sort of cult of service, so that people liked candlelight, they liked or gas light or paraffin lamps, which were tremendously arduous, and of course fires, which had to be lit for warmth every single morning. So that would have been the first task, and the kitchen maid would then have had to go and heat up the range, because that had to be kept hot all day for cooking, and it took ages and ages to heat up, maybe 2 hours. So she'd have been up at 6, making sure that that was lit, and they were notoriously hard to light. You know, they were always going off.
So after lighting the fires, then pretty much a whole day.
Depending on the nature of the house in which you're in, the job was to sort of order things for the day, to lay the tables, to make sure that the upstairs had hot water. That was a very big task, to heat the water and to take it up in pails upstairs. And it was estimated in 1890 that the average maid in a modest urban house carried 3 tons of water a week.
Wow.
And if you consider she'd probably be about 13 and probably pretty tiny and undernourished. That's quite something.
So we do have this impression that cleanliness, at least let's say personal hygiene, was not a big preoccupation in the beginning of the 20th century or late 19th. Was there a different standard for the household? Were they meant to be kept impeccably clean?
Oh, I think they were far cleaner than we are. I think the standards of cleanliness were enormously high. And this is partly because so much more dirt was generated. If you can imagine houses that have coal fires, leave a constant film of smuts and dirt. You had to be constantly cleaning. I mean, they used to clean all their books once a week, which is far more.
Wow.
Well, I don't know about you, but certainly far more than I never clean my books, in fact. I don't even clean them once a year. So, in fact, actually, because there was so much more dirt generated both in the house and outside, if you consider in this country, certainly most streets until, well, up to the First World War, were cobbled or earth. So that an enormous amount of dust was generated. So every time you opened a window, the dust from horses' hooves and wheels clattering over cobbles would come in through your window. So you were constantly cleaning this film that fell over everything. Whereas I think nowadays we, you know, take our antibacterial spray and, you know, do a few seconds darting about in the bits we can see.
Some cleaning has thankfully gotten much easier. Laundry you go through, for instance, changed radically. It used to be an all-day task, now done in a matter of hours. But without all these stain removers and OxyClean products that we have today, how did they get, say, a wine stain out of a tablecloth?
Well, I think that they were actually very ingenious. And, of course, a lot of our chemical stain removers now are absolutely lethal for fabric. I mean, we have fabric that is far cheaper and more disposable than they tended to have then. And part of that is because we destroy things so quickly. They just don't last very long, dry cleaning and so on. But wine was just a simple matter of, well, things that we probably would use now. So for red wine, things like soda water, and also stretching over a bowl and pouring boiling water through the stain as soon as you can. And that also does very well for things like ink stains as well.
Lucy Lethbridge is with us. She's researched the lives of maids and butlers and people in service in Britain's great houses. While most of us do not have a household staff, her book, Mind Your Manners, offers some tried and true cleaning tips gleaned from centuries of people in service. And Lucy, there's another concoction in your book that I would never have thought of. It's a tip for freshening a thermos.
It's you crunch up the shell of an egg, you put it into a thermos, you fill the thermos with vinegar and then with boiling water, you shake it around a bit, and then you pour it out, and you'll get the kind of cloudiness out of the thermos and the kind of the slightly sort of mildewy smell that you get when a thermos hasn't been opened for a while.
Lucy, how specialized would this kind of knowledge be? You know, would only laundry maids know how to get out a rust stain, or only kitchen maids, you know how to whip eggs properly? Was it likely that one person would be dedicated to one job or a variety?
Well, it would, again, depend on your household. I mean, most servants in the last 200 years were working on their own. I mean, most people had one maid as opposed to eight, or the sort of Downton Abbey style. So a general maid would have had to know everything. She would have done the laundry and the washing up and the cleaning. But I think that housewives were expected to know these things because they were expected to teach their servants. It was part of the training. And Mrs. Beaton, for example, was written for the purpose of instructing young brides who had running their first home. She's not read by servants. She's read by housewives.
No, I don't know then, Mrs. Beaton. Is that a tradition in Britain in particular?
Oh, you don't know Mrs. Beaton's Book of Household Management, which is absolutely iconic book here. It's never been out of print. It gets updated about once every 10 years. And it is the great volume. It is the great guide, first written in 1861, for running a house.
Will you include a recipe in the book for making one's own furniture polish out of beeswax? And for getting water stains off of furniture, how do you do that?
Oh, that's the most brilliant tip in the whole book, the water stains off furniture. And that one I have tried, and it works superbly. And I tried it on an antique table very, very nervously. It's a very simple one. You use methylated spirits, table salt, and beeswax polish. You press the table salt. You sprinkle it onto the watermark. You rub a rag dampened with a little methylated spirit over the salt, and then immediately, within seconds, rub it with beeswax polish. And you do that until the stain disappears, which is amazingly quickly.
How about cleaning windows? There must have been a lot of windows in a manor home, or especially a grand estate.
Vinegar, or if you're feeling rich, gin. And newspaper.
Newspaper.
Scrumpled up newspaper is, for reasons I'm not quite sure, but in fact is still used here by many window cleaners, is far, far more effective than cloth at getting rid of smears on windows. And certainly my window cleaner in London here always uses newspaper. And indeed vinegar. He uses vinegar in hot water. But some people just spray vinegar onto the window.
Lucy, cleaning and domestic work now carry a lot of baggage. I mean, for women especially, I think, who work outside of the home, the idea of dedicating or priding oneself on the cleanliness of one's home feels outdated or even oppressive. So how do you, as a woman in the 21st century, look at that?
Well, I think it is problematic, isn't it? I mean, a lot of us here in London, where I live, employ cleaners, who, of course, are other women. I don't know anyone who employs a male cleaner, although I think they do exist. And so that we buy our liberation from cleaning at the expense of someone else having to do it for us. So I think that there is something problematic about cleaning, but I think that's part of the problem that we have about domestic labour. We don't perhaps give it the status that it deserves. It's very, very low-paid work, and therefore we regard it as something that is unpleasant to do. And in fact, I think that there is some pleasure in mastering the details of how to look after things, how to keep them beautiful, to have beautiful things and to look after them, to have a really beautiful piece of wood and know how to nourish it, for example, rather than simply spraying it with a silicone.
Lucy, thank you so much for speaking with us.
I've enjoyed it.
Lucy Lethbridge is author of Mind Your Manners, Tried and True British Household Cleaning Tips, and Servants, a downstairs history of Britain from the 19th century to modern times. And if you're looking for more tips and tricks to improve your spring cleaning routine, you'll find a link to more on Mind Your Manners. That's at wordofmouthradio.org.